You're listening to the Netmums podcast with me, Wendy Gollidge.
And me, Alison Perry. Coming up on this week's show...
I suffered really badly with anxiety after I had Darcy. And one thing that Mum's group really helped me with, which wasn't until later on, was being able to talk about it and actually like put my feelings and thoughts within that group, if that makes sense.
But before all of that...
This episode of the Netmums podcast is brought to you by Aldi. Wendy, I've got a question for you. What's your guilty parenting pleasure?
Oh, I'd probably say it's gobbling up cold fish fingers from my kids' plates after they've abandoned dinner in favour of watching the telly.
I do that too. I reckon my guilty pleasure is sneaking out and escaping my children to have a lovely browse of my local Aldi alone.
I am so with you. What I love about Aldi is they have an excellent range of great value products. They even have an award-winning baby and toddler range, which includes weaning essentials, nappies and wipes.
It's funny you should say that because another friend told me that she switched to Aldi Mamiya and it's giving her big savings.
Yes, plus with Netmums and Aldi, new parents can get a pack of newborn nappies absolutely free. So log on to our site and let your friends know about this awesome opportunity with Netmums and Aldi.
Right, don't tell my family, but I'm sneaking off to Aldi right now.
Hello folks, welcome to another episode. I'm really excited because today's guest is, I don't even know where to start. I'm doing a lot of spring cleaning and this lady is the queen of all that. Gemma Solomon, aka the Label Lady, launched her business a couple of years ago. She sells custom-made labels and is now author of the book Love Lists and Labels, an inspiring guide to believing in yourself, making positive changes to your life and how a sense of order can help. Welcome, Gemma.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm okay, thank you. Keeping busy, trying to always be positive and just enjoying the journey I'm on, if I'm honest with you, loving the ride and taking each day as it comes.
I think you're either the kind of person who gets excited by a label maker, me and you, or you're not. What do you reckon?
Well, you want to know what I am or you want to know if you're that person?
Well, I just want to know, what is it about labels that makes you so happy?
I think for me, it was about, so basically, like, I've had a label machine from quite a way before the Label Lady. Like my first one I got in actually 2017, and it wasn't really for organisation purposes. It was more for, I had a tiny small business that did like events and stuff. So I used it for like balloons and that side of things. And eventually I realised that I could make organisational labels with it. And that's how I started to grow a love for the label maker. Does that make sense? So I think sometimes when you first look, you think, oh, why do I need that? But then when you start applying the labels and realise that there is that sense of calm and organisation, everything has its own place, it just makes you so happy. Why would you not want to walk over to something and be like, oh, I know where that is?
Oh, unless you apply it with a bump in the label, then things are really bad.
However, there is tips and tricks for that.
Now, in the book, you say you found growing up as the oldest of three quite tricky. Why was that?
I think the oldest one has it the worst. I think we've got the hardest job. And I know the middle children are going to disagree because they're going to say, no, I'm a middle child. But then the youngest just can't disagree because they have it the easiest. But I feel like as the eldest child, you get given quite a lot of responsibility first, and you also have to go through all those feelings and emotions first. So it sounds really silly, but you know, like when your mum and dad, like you say to them, can I go and play out, or can I go to the shops, or can I go to the cinema with my friends, or can I do this and that? It's kind of that no before it's a yes. Whereas by the time it's got to like child number two, number three, number four, they're like, see ya, have fun. So I feel like you have to, as the eldest child, always go for everything first. And that can be quite difficult to navigate, like, especially when you're like insecure about things or there's something that you're not sure how to question. Yeah, just with things like that.
So you and your sister Stacey are both pretty creative. Was it like that when you were growing up? Were you the ones making rockets out of loo rolls and cereal boxes? Have you always, both of you, been as creative as you are now?
I think as a family, we're quite creative. When you look at like all the different jobs that we've all gone into and all the different things that you've done, you can definitely see how our roots are quite creative roots, even from both our parents. And we love arts and crafts and making and doing all things like that. So yeah, 100% we were those children. But what a great way to be. Like, I encourage my children to do it now so much, and I love watching them make things out of things. And I've got a little duck that one of my children drew that's on my desk in front of me, and I actually turned it into a label for them. So I got them to draw it digitally, and then I made it into a label, and they loved it.
But tell us about your kids. How old are your kids? What are they called?
So they are Darcy, Mila and Hudson. Darcy's the oldest. She is now 10. Mila is 7, soon to be 8. And Hudson is 5. They're lovely. I love them so much. Don't get me wrong. They can drive me up the wall sometimes. But on the whole, they're really lovely children. They're so beautiful. And yeah, I'm just so proud to be their mum.
Do you think they follow the same kind of sibling? Do they follow the same pattern as you guys did? Obviously, you each have different characteristics. Are they similar to the three of you?
We actually laugh about this so much because we see it like with my family, with my sister's family, like we see it with like the eldest, the middleest and the youngest. And we always say like the eldest one is like very well behaved, you know, always wants to do the right thing. And I think prim and proper is probably the wrong word, but like, you know what I mean? Like quite, you know.
My eldest is the same. She plays by the rules, the eldest.
Yeah, that's it, plays by the rules. Whereas the middle one, she's going to literally like.
So is Stacey the middle one?
It is the middle one. And that's why it makes us laugh, because I was like the goody two shoes. You know, the middle child is like a bit more rebellious and cheeky and, you know, knows their own self, dramatic and very like theatrical and stuff like that. And then the youngest one is just like, yeah, whatever, like with the wind and just flows along. And we see it in our own children. So it really makes us laugh when their little personalities come out, because you haven't made them like that. They've just grown like that. And it's funny to watch.
It's crazy, isn't it, how siblings follow those patterns. So when you catch up with your sister now, there's an awful lot of small people. Like between all of you.
Humans, mini humans.
There's a lot of mini humans. Tell us how that is.
Well, we love being a big family. Like we're obviously a big family as well. We've got obviously like brothers, sisters, stepbrothers, sisters, half brother. So there's a lot of us in general anyway. And even like my husband, he's one of 6. So we're used to being around these huge families who have then gone and had children. And that's why I always say if I'm planning an event or doing anything within the family, I feel like people have to remember that we're like the Pied Piper and all these people come following behind, not because we've got loads of friends.
It's like the Von Trapps. There's just loads of you.
Or the A-team where they all jump out the car. And actually, we used to laugh because as children, we had one of those cars with the
sliding door. What, an A-team bus?
Well, I thought it was an A-team bus, but it was, to us, it was, I don't even know what the A-team are until I go Google them, but it was like that A-team bus where you just slide the door open and we'd all jump out one after the other.
So do all the cousins get on?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we're lucky. Like, I mean, you've got to remember, like, Darcy and Leighton are only 10 months apart. So they're actually more like siblings rather than cousins. And even like Rex and Huds, they're like little brothers with each other because they see each other all the time. So, yeah, we're really lucky like that. Don't get me wrong. They can. We know when they've had enough of each other and we're like, we call and say, it's time to go home.
Your children.
Yeah. But otherwise, like, they have sleepovers together, see each other all the time. And I really, really, really hope that as they get older, that will turn into, it's friendship now, but you know, like that friendship where you can, they'll go out together or they'll do things together and stuff like that. So yeah, that'll be really nice.
When you started the business, did you ever imagine that this is where you would end up?
No, 100% not. What happened was I stepped away from my role in the NHS and was looking for a new direction within the NHS. And so I was working bank shifts to keep up my job role, my registration, all of that sort of thing, while looking for a job. And in between that, that's where I obviously spent more time at home. So I was then organising and doing things around the home. And then it was actually on Lee's birthday in 2020, so January 2020, that we sat down and my family were like, why don't you try this as a small business? Because I'd always had little small businesses throughout my working careers. And I thought, okay, I'll give it a go. I enjoy it. I like doing it. And I don't think you ever can imagine that from saying those words to owning your own, you know, office and premises and staff and stuff like that. Like you just don't imagine that for yourself, if that makes sense. Sometimes I have to really stop and think about how far I've actually come in that amount of time.
So what inspired you to write the book then? Because it's not like you're not busy. You seem like you've got quite a lot going on.
Do you know what? When I was approached about writing a book and stuff like that, I actually thought, oh my gosh, I remember saying to Lee, listen, if I write a book, you've got like 6 months of like not seeing me and me literally being like buried in this book and not speaking to anyone and, you know, just keeping myself to myself. But I actually really enjoyed it. I actually didn't find it stressful. I found the whole process quite rewarding because you're almost saying out loud what you kind of tell yourself, and you're saying out loud things that you want other people to hear and read and know about you. So it actually feels like not a weight has been lifted, but it feels like a really nice thing to do. So I didn't find it an extra job. I actually found it maybe a bit of comfort, is probably the way to describe it, if anything. I really enjoyed it. I really didn't find it stressful at all. I found it a really nice experience. I'm still on it because I haven't got the actual book yet. But yeah, I found the experience really positive.
Who's the book for?
Basically, I say it's a little bit about me. So if you want to know a bit about me and who I am, but a lot of it is about you guys. And I say you guys as in general, but what I mean is, you could be a stay-at-home mum, a budding entrepreneur. It doesn't matter who you are. It matters that you can take takeaways from the book. So if you are a stay-at-home mum, that is absolutely your job and fine. And you have to understand that no matter society's, you know, impressions of what that means, that is a blooming hard job. And there is so many ways that you can organise that role within your life and how you can take takeaways from that. But at the same time, if you want to start your own business and you're not sure how to do it, there's also takeaways that you can take from that as well. And if you just want to think about life, I speak a lot about journeys and how you're following different paths in life and what they mean and how not to feel so much about something, but actually strip it back again, and we're all amazing humans and we've got to realize that. So I actually think it can be for anyone from all walks of life. It's how you interpret what's in there for you, and that's what's important about it.
So do you think you'd ever go back to being a pediatric nurse?
So technically I still am a pediatric nurse. I'm still registered, I've still got my PIN, and I have to make that decision quite soon, actually, as to what I want to do, because for anyone that doesn't know, you have a PIN that's attached to your name and a registration, and you have to renew that registration every year, which is fine. I have been. But every 3 years, you do what's called a revalidation. And to pass that revalidation, you have to have done so many hours worth of work, or like nursing, if you like, and you have to do like certain reflections and stuff like that.
Oh, big decision.
I worked so hard to get it. I gave 8 years of my life to the NHS. Obviously, I know there's people that have given a whole lot more, but 8 years I really dedicated and loved what I did. So, yeah, it's a huge decision.
Do you miss it?
I miss giving care, and I miss that side of it in terms of, like, somebody said to me tomorrow, come and do a nursing shift, I'd love to do it. But I don't miss the politics. I don't miss the state that the NHS is in. I don't miss the pressure that's put on you as an individual working there, and that was what broke me, not the job. I love the job. Like, the job didn't break me. I always say to people, I never worried about the job or the pay. That wasn't my issue. My issue was the conditions and
everything else.
Yeah, and that was the point that really got me, and the saddest point. And I used to get so upset about it, because when I got to the stage where I stepped away from the job I was in, I was actually in a job where all I wanted to do was make change and be an advocate for those. I call it the shop floor. Like, you know, like I say the shop floor, but it's where like the nurses, the doctors, the cleaners, the porters, like, the, you know, all of them staff are. And I really wanted to be an advocate for those people and really help make change so that their working environment was what it should be. And it's a really difficult thing to do. And you are constantly hit with the word no. Hit with the word no, and that was what upset me the most, if I'm honest.
So even though you're not in it, are you forever being asked, do you get Stacey ringing you up saying, oh, they've got a rash, they've got spots, what's this? Do you still get that kind of like all the questions from your mates about their kids?
I think you'll never not get that. And I think if any of our friends listen to this, they'll laugh and be like, oh, that's me. I do that to Gemma at 11 o'clock at night. But do you know what? I don't mind it because I feel like it kind of like keeps me fresh and keeps me a little bit sane as well. Because otherwise, I always say, if you haven't seen a rash before, or you haven't seen a spot before, or you haven't seen all these things, it is scary, like so scary. And, you know, a lot of simple rashes or marks or conditions have got these hugely scary long medical names that no one can say and no one can pronounce properly. And you think, oh my God, my child's got that. And then you're like, oh no, it's just baby rash, don't worry. But it's got a name longer than anything you've ever heard before. And it sounds like they are diseased, you know? So it's very, it can be really scary. So I get it. And I like it that you all talk, because also I think it makes you realize what's normal and what's not normal. And if you're sharing those things, then if anything is abnormal, you're gonna spot it. So yeah, I don't mind it.
You talk actually about the different WhatsApp groups you're in. What are those mums groups? Why are they so important for you?
So we have a mums WhatsApp group. So I've got I like to think I'm quite a friendly person. I've got quite a few friends. I can't seem to let go of friends that are like from all different places. And we have, so I've got like a group of girls that we've known since like college, and they've known since school and stuff. There's like 16 of us. And then obviously some of us had children, some of us haven't yet had children. So we kind of broke off a mum's group separate to that, not to divide ourselves, but just not to drive the others crazy, if I'm perfectly honest with you. Because, you know, if you haven't got children or you don't want children, the last thing you want to hear every 5 seconds is, oh, so-and-so pooed up the wall the other day and I was walking, you know, when I was walking to the shops. So we kind of separated that. And actually, it's such a nice feeling to know that you've got other like-minded individuals in that group with you. And I think I suffered really badly with anxiety after I had Darcy. And one thing that mum's group really helped me with, which wasn't until later on, was being able to talk about it and actually like put my feelings and thoughts within that group, if that makes sense. Because I was one of the first to have children. I had Darcy when I was 24, which quite young nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah.
For children. So I actually felt quite alone when I had her. But by the time the girls started having children, it was all right for me to be like, you're not crazy, it's okay. Like, you're going to feel like this and this is going to happen to you, but it's going to be okay.
But hard for you not to have anyone to say that to you.
Yeah, and I think as well, like, for me, like, I'm very matter of fact. I'm not very emotional. I'm very much like, okay, it's happened, suck it up, get on with it. We've got to move on to the next thing. There's another thing taking up my brain space and I need to get rid of that one. And when the anxiety came, I was not an anxious person before. I never had anxiety before. So I didn't know what it was. And it took me so long to realize that what it was, that I actually felt quite good that I could tell others. So yeah, I was a bit like, oh, I wish people could have been there for me before, but I didn't know that I had it before.
Was it anxiety about yourself or about Darcy or about whether you were doing it right? Or
it was about me. It was like my birth and stuff like that I think triggered it. There's more about that in my book. I've spoken in quite detail about it. But I didn't know that's what it was. I just thought, you know, everyone must feel like this when they have a baby, so I've got to suck it up and get on with it. You know, everyone looks like this after a baby. Suck it up and get on with it. That was kind of my thought path in my head. What I didn't realise was that actually if somebody was just to say to me, Gemma, you're going to feel like this. Gemma, this is going to happen to you. Gemma, this is the thoughts and feelings that are probably going to go into your head after you have a baby, it would have been quite comforting. But I didn't know that I needed that at that time. So then when the girls started having babies, I was able to be like, it's okay, this is going to happen, but it's okay. Like, you're going to get through it. Like, it's going to happen, but it's going to be okay.
I remember a midwife sitting my husband down before I gave birth to my first and saying, right, you need to buy a pack of paracetamol, a really large dairy milk, and a box of tissues and roll with the punches. I think that's actually quite good advice, because you need chocolate, you need drugs, and you need a hug at the end of the day.
And you know, like, you're going to hospital, and like, especially for me, like, I was 24 and I thought I was quite good with children. Like, I'd worked in nurseries, I'd nannied, like, so I, not that I didn't not that I knew what I was expecting, but I kind of knew how to change a nappy, like all the basics, like I knew. But you walk in and you see like these pictures of the mums holding the baby, breastfeeding, with smiles on their faces, and everything's that calm. And actually, like, it's a huge trauma and a huge shock. And when you're like, why isn't the baby feeding on me? And they're like, oh no, they will. And I'm like, but they're not. Like, you almost want to question it. Like, you don't want to argue or, you know, say anything against it, because you're like, oh, okay. And so you withdraw and withdraw and withdraw and withdraw. And I think it's that withdrawing that then eventually leads to like that explosion, if that makes sense.
I totally agree. Now, I don't think our listeners would forgive me if I didn't ask you a little bit about your lovely sister, because she's a much-loved Net Mums lady. I guess one of the things that our readers love about Stacey is that she seems so genuine. Everything that kind of comes out feels like it's really what she's thinking. Is that the case? Is the Stacey we see the Stacey you see?
It is, and I'll just laugh, because if ever you've met Stacey or you know Stacey, like, she's the nicest person in the world, the loveliest person in the world. But her and Joe are like the same people. It's funny to me because, yeah, they're like the same people. It's like they've married each other, and it really makes me laugh.
That's funny you should say that. So they are the same human in male and female form, and they've married each other.
Yeah, it's really funny. Really funny. It seemed like personality wise, but in terms of like Stacey is way more organized than Joe. Sorry, Joe, but she is way more organized and way more like methodical, if that makes sense. But they're both lovely. Very lovely.
Is it as calm in that house as it appears to be?
I don't think any of our homes seem, I mean, they're calm in the sense of like, please God, we've got, you know, happy, healthy, like beautiful children, and they are always running around. And when the weather is nice, like obviously their house is amazing, and the outside space is just a dream. And you know, they're extremely lucky to be able to have that space, which is, you know, a joy to watch. Like they're, you know, climbing in the trees and playing football and running around and playing it and all those sorts of things. So, but yeah, I don't think we've ever. I mean, we haven't got calm houses. We've got a million children between us.
Well, you do a very good job of making it look serene, put it that way. So what is next, Gemma? You've written a book, you've got a successful business. We know there's a little bit of a question about nursing, but we won't dwell on that. What are you going to do? What's next in your plan for world domination?
Do you know what? I think this year in particular, not just for me, but for so many people, you know, we're in a really hard time at the minute, and more and more and more I'm seeing small businesses that are struggling and closing, and you know, things are happening around us that are just not nice to see. And when you compare it back to a couple of years ago with how well they were doing, it's a real shame to see. And so truthfully, this year my aim is to, I would really like to do something where I'd love to work with small businesses in a way and just, you know, get them through times like this, because no matter what happens now or in 10 years' time, there's always times where the economy is good and there's always times where the economy is bad. And it's how we get through those times that is really important. So I'd love to do something where I could perhaps work with other small businesses or, I don't know, do something empowering to help them to get through those times and uplift other businesses to do really well. And I don't know what that is yet. I can hear it in my brain and I can feel it in me, but I don't know what that is. But that's something I'm really passionate about and something I'd really like to build upon. And then, yeah, I just want to build upon me. I think as a person, I'm really growing and really accepting myself and really happy with who I am at the moment. So I think I need to be more confident in myself. And I've said to quite a few people this year, you know, if someone offers me the opportunity to do something or to speak to somebody or to be a part of something, I need to say yes. And yes is going to be my like word of the year, because I really want to be able to say yes to as many opportunities as I can and, enjoy the ride.
Well, thank you for saying yes to us. We're very pleased. It's been lovely to have you on. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.